God, we are going to pick back up on honor. Like I said, I will recommend a book for you. It's called Honor's Reward by John Bevere. Excellent, excellent book. Opened my eyes to many things. Like I said, I looked at it and first thing I'd do is do a lot of repenting because I realized where I'd failed so much. And then how much more God had wanted for me if I'd only listened and done what he had asked. So I want you to go ahead this morning, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. We have looked at honoring. We honor those. Actually, we started this on Memorial Day, and a day that we have set aside by our nation to honor those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, and in periods of whatever, we keep trying to detract from that. Memorial Day anymore is not about honoring those who have served and died in battle. Memorial Day is about hot dogs and hamburgers. That's what it's about. Oh, and the pool opening up. I forgot about that. Which I think our pool, I don't know if they opened or not on Memorial Day, but I kind of doubt it, seeing how cold it was. But anyhow, so if you're in Romans chapter 13, let's look in start in verse 3. This is Paul writing to the Romans. He says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." Do you want to be unafraid? I'm reading out of the New King James. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Paul clearly is talking about the civil authority that is in place. Now, back in the Roman time, the police were the Roman guards. They served a dual purpose. They were not only the civil authority, but they were also the military authority. Kind of kept things simple. You get an uprising, you don't have to question if they're going to be able to handle it. Anymore, you know, we are on a different, we're split. We have our police force and we have our military force. Now, a lot of our police forces are made up of prior service military. And what Paul is telling the Romans here, he said, don't be afraid of them. They're there for your good. They're not there to hurt you. And it amazes me how many people, and particularly Christians, who speak badly against the police. Now, if the police are abusing authority, there are things that can be done. We are not a society of, I don't know what we're not a society of. I don't have a word for that one yet. I'll make one up later. But we have the right and the means and the channels to go through to deal with things that are being done wrongly. You know, we can, and the unfortunate thing is, in our country today, we have television and it spreads really fast. With the whole things with Rodney King meeting in LA, the police were clearly in the wrong. However, I've come to find out that is not an uncommon thing for the LA Police Department. But here's the thing, what are the Christians in LA doing? Are they praying for their leaders? Probably not. They just like to talk about them and be buttheads, pretty much. If you pray for your leaders, God can change them. God can cause things to happen. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The people were praying to go. God said, I'm going to harden his heart. Because he wanted that regime brought down. He didn't want that rule in place any longer. He wanted it done with. And so he brought it down. They were praying for change, God, and change happened, and God brought them out healed and whole and wealthy. Okay, they just had to endure just for a little bit. And so, you know, God had the ultimate end in his mind when he was setting that whole thing up. Pharaoh played right into his pride is what put him there. And so, you know, a lot of people today, they still want to talk about the police. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you want to talk about the police, you're talking to the wrong person. I know that there are some that abuse their authority. That still is not where we're supposed to be. Do I look in my mirror every time I pass a state patrolman? Yes, I do. It became a habit. It's not because I'm afraid he's going to abuse his authority. It's because I want to make sure that if he's coming and going to pull me over, he's not going to chase me for a mile. Because I will tell you something right now. If you pull over and submit to it quicker, they're going to be a little more lenient. If you're the only car on the road and you see him hit his brake lights, pull over. Because he's not there to hurt you. He's there to protect you, he or she. Actually, I know Monica's sister's a patrolman. Just met her the other night. And she was talking about, you know, how, you know, when she'll pull a car over, she says, I love doing this. She says, I'll go up there and it'll be a young lady. And she says, she'll hike up her skirt. And she says, I'll look. And she looks up and says, oh, and pulls her skirt back down. Yeah, that's not going to work. And, you know, that's an unfortunate thing. That's why we need to pray for them, that they are doing their job right, that they are being honest. I watched a movie, and it was based on a true story, and it showed it was at the very beginning of the drug crackdowns in the late 60s, early 70s in New York and New Jersey area. They were trying to figure out where all this marijuana was coming in, and or not marijuana, cocaine. And anyhow, this undercover officer and his buddy were sitting and they watched his car all night. They watched a guy load his trunk up and go to a lot. He went to the lot, they sat there, waited and waited and waited for somebody to come pick it up. And eventually they decided, we're not waiting any longer. We're getting tired, for starters, and we will miss something and we won't be sharp. So they went, cut the lock on the fence, went in, popped the trunk, and they found nearly $1 million in unmarked bills. Now, I don't know about you. I know what's going through my mind. Nobody knows. This is dirty money. To show you the integrity of this officer, he said, I'm not touching it. And his partner was like, do you know what will happen to us if we turn this in? That's how dirty the department had become. Nobody wanted to work with the man anymore because he had integrity. See, it's only gotten that way because we quit praying for him. We decided to talk about him. And not only that, Christians decided they didn't need to be in those positions. My Bible says when the godly rule, the world rejoices. The people rejoice because there's integrity. $1 million was turned in instead of a police officer retiring on an island somewhere in the South Pacific. So Paul is clearly telling us as believers to submit to this authority because they're not there to hurt us. However, well, let me back up. In verse 3, he says, do you want to be unafraid of authority? I do. I do not want to be afraid of the cops every time I pass them. So you know what? I know I stay within the parameters of what the law allows. Will the law allow me to run 75 and a 55? No, they will not. I promise you, my last ticket, they will not let you run that fast. They will pull you over. Will he let you run 58 in that area? Yeah. They will actually let you go to 60. Every one of them I've talked to have said, yeah, I'm not wasting my time for 5 miles an hour. So you know what really irks me is how many people I've heard say, I got a ticket for running 57 miles an hour. You were not running 57 miles an hour. He nailed you because he wanted to have some mercy and only nailed you for 2 over instead of the 20 you were probably running. Because I'm going to tell you, even my last ticket, you know, I knew I was had. The Holy Spirit had told me just before I passed that car not to pass that car. I did it anyhow. But because of the way, you know, and I'm not, you know, when you get pulled over, you don't want to show respect. You really don't want to be friendly. You really don't want to talk to them like they're a human being. You want to look at them as the enemy. That's the natural instinct that rises up in man. Because the authority is from God. And the flesh is against God. Okay? That's why that happens. And so he pulled over, and, you know, like I said, morning, usually they'll say good afternoon, good morning. This one said, the reason I'm citing you today. And I even remember his name, Trooper Graham. I don't think he's still at this post, but anyhow, if he is, praise God, I pray for his protection. I pray he continues to do his job. And anyhow, when he wrote the ticket out, I don't believe he wrote it out, if I'm trying to remember correctly. I have to go try to find it. I've kept them because it seemed like every 3 years I was getting a ticket. I'd just get one off my record and pick up another one. And but anyhow, he did not cite me for 77. He got me for 65 because of the respect I showed him. And wasn't too long ago, was 3 years, actually I think it was a year or so ago now, I got pulled over and the Holy Spirit just told me, slow down. You're going a little faster than what he's going to let you. And I'm like, but I got to get, you know, we were running late. I said, I got to get there quick. I forget why we were going. I think it was prom or something for one of our nieces way over on the other side of Bucyrus. Well, on the other side of Bucyrus. And I was cutting across the country state route. And sure enough, top of the hill was a polar bear. You don't know what that is. That's a white cop. That's the white car. There he was. I seen him hit his brake lights. I just pulled over. And I'm sitting there, and we prayed out loud for mercy from God. I said, Lord, I need mercy. And he came. I was respectful to him. Treated him like he's a human being. And he came back, and he said, Mr. Waddell, I'm going to let you off today with a warning. Up to that point, I had been driving for more years than I hadn't ever driven. Probably about 18 years or something, 18, 19 years I'd been driving. And that was the first time anybody had ever given me a warning. You know why? Because all the other times I tried to dance around the subject. Well, my speedometer's off. This is this and that and this. You know, I'm sure they've heard the speedometer's off quite a few times. I know I've tried it. And even made, you know, and when I joined the Marines, my recruiter said, make sure that they see your ID or that you've got a Marine Corps sticker. They'll let you off. Hogwash. Because up until this last, up until the one in the car, the Mustang, all of them, I'd been a Marine. And all of them gave me a ticket. Even the one, I said, well, I'm leaving for Okinawa in 3 days. No, I guess you got 3 days to pay your fine. But you know, I had truly did not fully understand authority and respecting it. Now to honor, let me give you this definition real quick. Honor means to value, to treat as precious and weighty, to treat with deference, and to submit to the authority when it does not oppose God. That is what the biblical definition of honor is. Now, if he had told me to get out of the car and deny Christ, and he had let me off, well, I'm not going to submit to you. I'll take the ticket, thank you very much, and I will pay it with a smile. But he wasn't doing that. But if I treat him as common, what's he going to do? He's like, wait a minute, Jack. I'm the one here with the authority. And you're trying to treat me as your equal right now. Go talk to your boss like that. Those of you who have a boss, those of you who are self-employed, talk to your boss like you would like to. See how long you keep acting like that. But now, anyhow, I know a fella and notorious for getting tickets. He even bought a radar jammer, which, by the way, those are illegal. He bought a radar jammer, and you know, he had radar detectors, and he would just never drop. They would let him over with 5 over. But he wanted to run 20 over. Okay? And he was telling me one day he was going up 71. He saw the state patrol sitting up there in the median. And he said, I just kept a boogieing. He said, all these other people are slowing down. I just kept right on past him at 90 miles an hour. The police officer pulled him over. And he said, sir, why didn't you slow down? He said, why didn't you even hit your brakes? He said, well, I figured it was a waste of time. He said, you already had me. He said, yeah, I did. But if you had at least slowed down, I wouldn't have pulled you over. This man, by the way, has a serious problem with authority. And it's spreading through his children and his entire household. Okay? He has no respect for authority, period. He gets no respect. If you're a person with a problem with respect, you aren't going to get it. Okay? And by the way, the radar jammer, it jammed the radar all right. As he was going down 315 in Columbus, he went blowing through there. The speed limit, I think, is 60, or actually 55. And he went through there at 80. He had his jammer on, and when he went by, what the jammer does is it sends a false signal to the radar detector, and it picked up like 35 miles an hour, something way off. And as this big old truck is blowing by him, it has enough wind to shake your car, it gets your attention. So he pulled him over. He said, where's your jammer? He said, now, here's a $200 fine, plus you get to go to court for the jammer. Just about lost his license. So the police aren't there to cause us problems. They're there to prevent problems. That's why I think all counties right now are facing this issue of having to cut their county patrols. I think we're down to 9, or at least Hardin County, I know, is down to 9 deputies. We might be less than that. There's 400 square miles here and 9 people to patrol it. That's not good odds. We need to be praying for those that are still on. And then we need to be praying for wisdom for our commissioners to figure out how to get them funded so they're back up to running full. Because you know what happens when there's no authority present? The evil will run. And they will run and run and run and hard. Now Paul says here, again, that they're not a terror. But if we want to be unafraid, do what is good. If we are doing what is good, see, the police know who you are. If you're in a community, the police now know who I am. Not because I've been a bad person. Okay, because of ads we run, because I've met some of them. I've talked with the sheriff. One of the police captain here in town is my neighbor. I've talked to him quite often. I'm developing a rapport and a relationship with him. They know who I am. But if they see me blowing through town at 50 miles an hour in a 35, what does that say about Christ to them? I have no respect for you, and I have no respect for anybody. I am a Christian. What are you going to do? They're going to look at me and say, wait a minute, you don't respect authority, even though Romans 13 says that you're to do it. But if I'm obedient to the law, and they know who I am, guess what they're going to do? They're going to praise that. And when they praise that, you might be not paying attention to the speed limit. It's real easy to do. Especially out by the state lake, which, by the way, they love to sit out there. Because a lot of people think, it's 45. I can go 60 through here. Oh, no, you can't. But if you're not paying attention to your speed and you have a good rapport because you have a good reputation, Proverbs says a good name is rather to be chosen than riches, and he's talking about your reputation, not JD or Jenny or Jason. That name could mean a hill of beans, because a lot of people have, but what's their reputation? Are they respectable to the law? Do they normally follow the law? JD, I'm going to let you off today. I know you weren't paying attention. See, because of that respect, you will get that praise. And that is a reward for honoring that authority. Honor has a reward. And that's what the whole thing we're looking at is, there is a reward for honoring that authority. If you show disrespect to any person in authority, eventually they're going to have the upper hand. And if you've been a real jerk, they're going to play that card. They will play it. You know, when we were in this building, the fire chief shows up. I showed him where, you know, our fire detectors and stuff and all this. And he says, well, what about this, this, and this? And I could have become a real quick jerk, but thank God the Holy Spirit shut my mouth. And he said, you let me deal with this. I did not speak against this man. And I started praying for him and started praying for God to lead us through this. And God systematically set everything up so that we walked through all state inspections without a hitch. We are one of the few people who have ever walked through a state inspection without one hit that shut us down. They have to find nitpicky things, okay? They cannot go in a building and not find something. Once you're trained to inspect something, you will find it. When I started inspecting my troops, I knew where to look. I would check for dust on their light bulbs when I inspected their rooms. I know that sounds a little anal, but you had to be that way because the person who was coming to inspect behind me checked their underwear to make sure their drawers were in order. You open some of these guys' drawers and it just looked like that. But I knew our company gunny would open that drawer and he would inspect that. So I inspected that. And so these inspectors knew what to look for. So they found little things and said, okay, your certificate of occupancy will be showing up. They'll be mailed to you in probably a week. Great, praise God. Never had a bit of problems. But you know what would have happened if I had opposed that authority? They'd have shut us down just like that. And here's another issue. Even when they said you need to have a ramp built up to your stage, you need to have this, you need to have that. Now I'm going to tell you, first off, if somebody in a wheelchair wants up here, if you don't want healed, we'll pick you up. Okay? The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. Because I've seen in my Bible, and I've seen it personally, where God heals people who can't walk. But here's what happened. And I went down to a hearing to try to get them to change their mind. I'm like, this is not a public access area. This is the altar. But people in the secular world look at this as it's a stage. No, this is the altar. This is not a pulpit. This is not a lectern. This is a pulpit. The Word of God comes across through here. This is not just open. We do not just let everybody run, do whatever they want. That keeps respect for God in people's hearts. But here's what happened. I went down and they said, well, we're going to stick to it. But here, tell you what we'll do. Because we will let you put in a temporary ramp that you can take in and out, and we'll change the pitch. It doesn't have to be a long. So what you have to understand, for every inch you come up, you have to go a foot that way. I would have to have a ramp 24 feet back. I said, do you realize they wouldn't be able to get onto it because of the back wall? That's 30 feet from here. No, I'm sorry, it's 30 feet from here, but you're going to lose 4 feet. By the time it gets back here, they're not going to be able to get a wheelchair on it. You know what the state inspector, the man with the final word, said? He says, Art, just tell me you'll get them up there if they want up there. I said, we'll pick them up and put them up there. He said, that's all I need to know. Saved us $1,000 on a ramp, because that's how much a temporary one is, that you can just hook up and drag out. I said, thank you, Lord. So showing the respect has its rewards. And now you know what? I have a good name. Even with the electrical inspector, the last time we had a three-phase inspection. This was his second time. I developed a good rapport with him the first time. Talked to him. And you know what? Because here's the thing. Is everybody I talked to said, this man is a stickler. He is hardcore. And one of them, somebody, I don't remember who it was, said he's even a little out there. He's a Vietnam vet. I said, praise God, I love Vietnam vets. I got three of them in my church. I love Vietnam vets. So I mean, I'll tell you right now, God gave me clues on what to wear that day. He was Army, but I made sure I was wearing a Marine Corps shirt. See, veterans stick together. He walked through, he said, that looks good. Signed all. He wasn't here 5 minutes. I'm sitting back, I just sat down, I said, you got to be kidding me. My nerves were getting all worked up for that. But by showing that man respect and honor that he did not receive elsewhere, he said, no problem. To tell you how nitpicky he had to get to find some things, I had to go buy stickers to put on the electrical panels that say that they're an arc hazard. In other words, there's electricity inside an electric panel. That's what these stickers say. But by showing him respect and honor, because everything's done fine, everything is legal, by doing that, all I had to do was put those stickers on. So you know what now? I got stickers on everything, on those. I went and bought a bunch of them. I was like, praise God, I got to buy them. We're going to put them on all. And even the last time he came in, I said, I even put the sticker on there like you said. He said, very well. He signed off on my paper and said, have a good one. And he left. Verse 4 says, for he is God's minister to you for good. Who does he really work for? He works for God. He doesn't work for the state. He doesn't work for the county. He's an employee of God. This is where we as human beings seem to miss the problem. We like, he works for me. Oh, no, he doesn't. He serves you because he's a servant of God. I'm a servant of God. I serve the people. And these civil authorities are no different. They serve God. And now let me ask you this. If you're having a problem with an employee at a company, who do you go to? You go to his boss. If you're having problems with a corrupt police officer, who do you go to? You go to his ultimate boss. Jesse Duplantis has said it this way. He says, never go to somebody who cannot tell you yes. Don't stop there. You go until you get to the person who can say yes. He said, we ran into an issue one time in a hotel. And he said, I wanted to, you know, they didn't have my room ready. I'd had this room booked for 2 months. My room wasn't ready. He said, we just got off the plane. We're tired. We're stinky. We want to get showered and rested up because we had a meeting. And they're like, sir, it'll be, you know, 2 or 3 hours. He says, no. Let me go. Can you tell me that you can fix this problem right now? It'll be done in 3 hours. He said, no, that's not what I want to hear. I need to speak to your boss. His boss came and says, can you fix this problem? He's like, well, sir, your room will be ready. Who's your boss? Finally, they got the main manager. The main manager went in and they checked out and seen how often he actually stays in their line of hotels and that he holds a card that says he didn't pull it. They went in and they checked and they saw that he held a frequent flyer, basically, card that says he stays here a lot. They said, sir, your room is ready. You've been upgraded. Okay? These police officers, county officials, they work for God. If they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, go to their boss. God, pray for them. That's why the Bible tells us to pray for them. Because if they are that evil, think of what happens. They get saved. They will be that much good. Now, there is an issue with the body, and people don't realize this. If we are the body, and he's talking to the church here, people. The Bible is written to the church. Everybody likes to try to cram it down a sinner's throat, but the problem is, it's not written to them. It's written to us. And he's talking to the church here. He says, however, if you are evil, he's there to execute justice. In other words, if you're blowing through a school zone that's rated at 20 and you're going through there at 60, He's there to execute justice on you. Now, unfortunately, and one reason we need to pray for our lawmakers is they're getting lazy. River Valley School is an excellent example. It's in a 55 zone. There's a sign that says 20 miles an hour during restricted hours. Ask any police officer what the restricted hours are. They don't know. They're not posted. But because we're trying to get cheap, we won't put the sign up that says between 2:30 and 4:30 or 3:30 or whatever it is. Because people don't pay attention. I don't go, if I'm on my motorcycle, I don't look. I quit trying to wear my watch because it leaves a nice white ring. So I don't know what time it is. Well, Pastor, you ought to know. What, do I tell by the sun, by the position of the sun on the trees? So that's why we need to be praying for them. And see, and here's the thing is, I know that because somebody I know asked a police officer, a state patrolman actually, and he says, I don't know. They didn't tell us. So apparently somebody dropped the ball somewhere along the line instead of having something that kicks on by solar power that with flashing lights to let you know, hey, there's kids coming out of that school. Now, I praise God for them flashing lights because there's a lot of times I'm like, oh, got to slow down through here. Verse 5, he says, therefore you must be subject, not because of wrath, but also not only because of what's going to happen to you if you get caught, but for your conscience sake, so that you know you're doing good. A lot of believers today do not have a conscience. They don't live by what the Holy Spirit's telling them. They live by what feels good. It feels good to run 100 miles an hour for a very little time. Then when the reality of what could happen hits you, you're like, okay, maybe that's not the smartest speed to ride at or drive at. See, I had a little Mustang. It was 97. I took it to 100 miles an hour one time just to see. And can I tell you what happens on a Mustang? The front end likes to start lifting off the ground. What steers your car? Your front end. If your steering wheel's you're doing this and it's not moving, you're in trouble. I said, okay, there's a law in effect here. It's called the law of lift. The air is lifting the front end of my car up because it's getting enough pressure now. I've had my motorcycle at 100 miles an hour. My helmet came off. I tell people this was my Darth Vader helmet. It's what it looked like. It looked cool when we first tried it on in the dark. Next time I'll check it out in a mirror. But anyhow, it caught the air and pulled my head back. Yeah, exactly. You can't do much of that. All I could do was clutch and let off the throttle and get that thing to slow down so I could pull my head back up because I had a parachute trying to pull me off. Again, there's laws. Praise God, there was no police officers around because they would have probably thrown a book at me for being stupid, and rightfully so. Okay? I knew I was in violation of the law. Thank God he has mercy on fools too. Yes, I threw myself at the top of that list, so you can just tuck right in behind me somewhere. Now, verse 7, then he goes to say, render therefore to all their due. It goes on to talk about taxes. Let me tell you something. If you get audited by the IRS, do not start calling the IRS agent dirty names. Big mistake. Big, huge. Because he has the power to take everything you've got. Or he has the power to put it through the right channels for debt cancellation. They do have that. There is forgiveness. But most people don't get it because they come off, well, you're a jerk. I don't know why you have to be a jerk. Listen, they're used to dealing with people who are jerks all the time, so they are already geared up and ready to go. Most people in those lines are used to it. You're just cold and insensitive. No, they're just used to being treated like this. So they're ready for you. However, if you treat them with respect that is due them, because they now have authority over you, they also have that authority to make sure that that goes to the right person who can stamp forgiven on that debt and pass it on. I've known some people who've done it. Now, he goes on down, he says, and customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. In our country, it's supposed to be those elected positions. But do you realize that anymore, even the highest office in our land does not receive the right honor? No matter who's in it, they're supposed to receive honor. They've all done some good, and they've all done some bad. They've all done it. We were sitting down looking. Jesse brought this poster home with all of the presidents on it. It showed who their vice presidents were, if they had one, their terms. And Jesse started asking, he said, Dad, were they a good one? I'm like, well, first off, your great-grandpa wasn't even born during that time, so I couldn't tell you. All I can go is on what history or historians will tell us. But whether they were good or bad, I don't know. I said, but here's the thing you always got to keep in mind. They've all done something stupid. And they've all done something that worked out good. See, if the church had been praying for President Clinton for 8 years instead of talking about him all the time, we might have had some things done differently. But I got caught up in it as well. We all did. It was easy. It was easy to get caught up about talking about him. But does the Bible tell us to talk about him? No. It told us to pray for them. You know, I'll never forget, you know, when President Clinton took over the office, you know, I was still in the Marines at that time, and one of the, you know, it was going around, everybody was thinking the same thing. I don't know why it starts in the Marines, because if you look back in history, Lee Harvey Oswald was a Marine, John Wilkes Booth had been a Marine. They all assassinated a president. Put a big black eye on the Marine Corps. But anyhow, one of the Lance Corporals in my office, you know, undisciplined in his speech, said, well, somebody ought to shoot him. Thank God my gunny was there with enough sense to say, whoa, stop right there. You speak another word, and I will have you in jail. He said, what you are speaking is treason, and I have an obligation. Whether I agree with the man or not, I have the obligation to deal with what you're talking about. Now, he realized that the kid was just speaking out of emotions and would not do, hopefully, which he didn't. But because he took the time right then and there to rebuke him, he got him squared away. We got him straightened up, and he started disciplining himself. But you see, that was what was a common thought. And the same garbage started circulating with President Obama before he even got it. People started, well, somebody's going to take him out. Well, you know what? I prayed against it, so no, they're not. We stood against that spirit of assassination and said, you're not going to do it. You will not rip this country apart, because that's exactly what it would do. It would not solve one problem. As a matter of fact, it would open up an entire hornet's nest. Because it's not really a black and white issue. Because here's what I want to remind the white America. He's half white. He's just as much us as he is of anybody else. He's our president. He's a man we're to honor, to treat with respect, and protect with our lives if that's required. By the way, I don't know. I know we have several veterans in here, but I don't know if you realize your oath actually doesn't stop. Your oath didn't end when you got out of off contract. You took an oath. It didn't say as long as I'm on duty. You took an oath that says I will give my life to defend the United States. So therefore, we owe it to the president to honor him. Well, I'm not going to make it to where I want to, but I'm not done yet, because the Lord just showed me an excellent example of this. Has anybody watched the movie Valkyrie yet? Okay. Three of us. All of you need to watch it. Valkyrie. It stars Tom Cruise. I know. I don't care about his religious beliefs. It's on a true story on the last assassination attempt on Hitler. What I want you to see in there is the dedication that the people, and they read their oath that they had to take when they joined the service or when they were drafted or whatever into his army. There were people that even though he was cold, he was cruel, and they didn't like him any better, they would not, because of an oath that they took to defend him. As a matter of fact, that is the very thing that stopped the final assassination. The attempt had happened, but the coup was already in motion. And that oath is what stopped that coup. That's what took the power back, was because these men took an oath. Bible doesn't say you get to pick and choose. Bible says to honor the king. The people put Hitler in office. Yeah, they realized we got taken. However, it was 9 months later after that attempt that he committed suicide, because God brought the justice. God brought the justice in the form of the Allies. So we see civil leaders are God's ministers, and God does not differentiate if they are good or bad. He still uses them. Because I'm going to tell you something. Everybody say, oh, those Babylonians, you know, King Darius and all of them, they came and took over Israel. God said they were his ministers. They brought justice on Israel because Israel was playing the harlot. By the way, they were a military force. Let's go to turn to 1 Peter real quick. I'm going to skip a scripture. I want to go to 1 Peter since we're on this. Okay, it was in my Bible this morning. There it is. I knew where it was supposed to be. Just wasn't finding it. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. That's what we're supposed to do first off as believers. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Would anybody like to... Do you know who the king was at this time? It was Herod Agrippa I. He had a choice. He could either become the church's ally or the church's persecutor. He chose to be the persecutor of the church. And here's Peter telling the body of Christ to honor the king. Wow. By the way, he led up to that first off when he said, fear God, then honor the king. In other words, you're not going to fear God if you're not honoring the king. Because you really don't know what fear is. You don't know what honor is. If you understand that king is in authority because God has allowed it. God allowed Samson. God said, as a matter of fact, he will be a leader. He will be set apart. You can look and see what Samson did. Did Samson really do good? Not really. Not really. His example weakened the people. But he was still treated with honor. So much honor that even after he was taken captive, that his brothers came, his father's household came, dug him out of the rubble, which, by the way, he's going to be underneath a big pile of rubble, dug him out of there and took him back and buried him with honors. They still honored him as the judge over Israel, even though he really wasn't a righteous judge. Very few of them were very righteous, but God still said to treat them with honor and with respect. Even today, people understand that there's something about honor and respect, so much so that they will lie, cheat, and pay their way to be buried in Arlington, even though they don't deserve to be buried there. That's supposed to be an honorable place, but there are people who have dishonored this country who are doing things to try to get into there. And as far as I understand, that's supposed to be the highest honors to be buried there. And they understand that, so they will do whatever they can do to get in there. But here Peter's telling us to fear God and honor the king, because in order for us to honor God, or to fear God, we've got to honor our rulers, because it's what he said. Because ultimately, if we're disrespecting the king, the president, we're disrespecting God. We are treating God as common. I'm getting ahead of myself there real quick. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we'll start in verse 40. It says, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." What he's talking about is, if you respect that prophet just because he's a prophet, you will receive the same reward. Just because he's a prophet. Now, if he proves himself to be false, the Bible has some things to say about that too. In other words, if you receive the police officer in the name of a police officer and respect him and show him the respect due to him, God said you will receive a reward for that. That's what he's saying there. You receive a righteous man. If you respect a righteous man just because he's a righteous man, you will receive a reward because of that. It's a real simple concept. But it goes against everything that our body, that our flesh wants to do. We want to fight it. You know, it might have started sooner than this, I don't know, but probably in the 60s predominantly, question all authority. That was a common thing. Question authority. Why? Well, because there was so much, people quit praying for the authority that now the younger generation decided to cry out against it, and we went the other way so far that this is what we've got. If we had continued to pray for our government, pray for our leaders, I don't think we'd ever saw the destruction that the 60s ushered in. And I just said usher in, folks. That was just the tip of the iceberg. That was the tip of the spear. The rest of the spear came through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and into today. Because people think of a lot of things, oh, well, it's free whatever. I can do whatever I want. Whatever I want has results. It has destruction. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter whether you see it immediately or not. Even some of our founding fathers found out the hard way that you can't run around with Susie Rottencrotch over there and not catch syphilis. Sorry I said it that way, that if it offended you, I apologize. But that's what happens. And that was unfortunate Marine coming out. I heard that term probably 100 times a day in the Marine Corps. But they got a point across to us. You stay away. But does that happen in the body of Christ? No. Not one bit. Well, they look like they're having fun over there. Let's go over there. Well, next thing you know, you're caught up into whatever it is they're doing. Hey, we're going to go to this rally. Next thing you know, you're caught up in an anarchy rally. The next thing you know, you're an anarchist. And by the way, you can't be an anarchist and godly at the same time. I just recently heard on a radio station that I usually listen to, they used the word anarchy, and it was not in a good way, which I'm going to write a nice little letter to the owner and let him know, because I've met him, that I do not appreciate hearing anarchy coming across a Christian radio. It shouldn't be. I've quit funding them right now. Until I see a change, they don't get another dime from me. Because that's how simple it slips in. Oh, well, it's the thing to do. It's not your right. You are an American. You have the right to keep your mouth shut. You're a Christian, and your Bible says to pray for them. Do you know what we can do with prayer? We can move mountains. We can tell a mountain to go jump in the sea, and it has to obey us. Let me tell you what prayer does. Yesterday, at the up in Mansfield on the square, they set up the tent to hand out the tracts. And in the process, a witch comes over. She's going to tell people their futures by reading their palms. She comes over and she's going to do this. She starts, I guess, a little bit of a ruckus, you know, and I guess Eric handled it pretty good. She goes over and finally sets down. And Joshua told me this story before I got to talk to Angela. And you know, and he said, she only got one person that day, Dad. She got one person and decided to leave. I said, Joshua, what you saw there was the effects of prayer. Because I guarantee you, Eric and your mother, I didn't know who else was there, Eric and your mother were praying in the spirit and casting that thing away from them. She left. She got one visitor. That's not good when your business is trying to tell people the future. And, you know, hindsight being 2020, I told Angela, I said, Eric should have told her, said, well, if you could have foresaw the future, you already knew I was in your spot. But here's what I'm going to tell you, your future, if you don't get out of that. By the way, folks, the devil can never foretell the future. The demons will tell you what they're planning on doing. And if you allow it to go that way, you just play it into their hand. But the devil does not know the future. The devil did not know which child was Christ, so he killed them all. He didn't know which child was Moses, so he killed them all. And he did not know what was going to happen when he crucified Christ, because if he would have, he'd have never done it. The devil does not know the future. The demons are telling you what they're planning on doing. God already knows the future. He's the only one. And he will show his people things that come. But if they start practicing divination, God will strip them and turn them over to Satan. By the way, that's scripture. Paul even tells us to turn people over. That maybe in the end, they'll come to their senses and get saved again. And repent. So you will receive the reward just because you showed the honor. That doesn't mean we sit back and say, okay, Mr. President, just take us to hell in a handbasket. No, the Bible told us to pray for him. And if he's heading in the wrong way, pray that God reaches down with his hand and turns his heart. That's all we have to do. I remember when the impeachment proceeding started on President Clinton. We were all so excited. Not one person, I think, prayed for him. I mean, there were probably a few. That may be a bit of an exaggeration. But the majority of the church was glad to hear that maybe he was going to be turned over. Do you realize who his vice president was? The man who invented the internet. I said it that way so you'd understand. He did claim that, by the way. That's not a joke. He claimed to have invented the internet. But what he did is he took credit for something somebody else did. We were about to get turned over to, I think, a far greater evil. Instead of praying for the man we were about to hang, we were about to hand it over to somebody who doesn't even believe in his own beliefs. You know, instead of, you know, his mansion, I forget how much electric it takes to run it, but instead of downsizing, because, you know, the whole green thing, he would just as soon pay a penalty every month to some sort of organization that I don't understand. So what? You pay them an extra $20,000 a month for your carbon footprint being too big. Why not live in your beliefs and cause your estate to shrink? There's only two of you now. You don't need a 10,000 square foot garage, although that wouldn't be a too shabby thing. If you heat it with solar power. Anyhow, but you see what I'm saying. No, it doesn't conflict with my beliefs. I think God put trees here. God's way of cleaning up the earth was fire. I mean, how do you think the forest got so lush? It burned off all the undergrowth, keep them things cleaned up, keep all the rot down, keeps the disease down. You know, we can't grow a tree this big around anymore without it getting rotten because we have so much rot and disease floating around. God's way of taking it was send a little lightning and cause a spark. Burn. You know, they finally figured that out in Yellowstone. They figured they couldn't control those fires, so they just let them grow, and then they found out the forest is healthier. Oh, by the way, it's also healthier if we harvest the trees before they rot. But you're not going to talk sense into people, because that's capitalist. You're a capitalist. If they got money, then I'm a capitalist. Because I found out you can do more things with money than you can just sitting around talking about them. Turn over to 1 Timothy. You know what? Stop. We're going to stop. God said stop. Your civil leaders, that's your heads of your townships, your counties, the heads of boards, the school board. You know, even the mayor of these little villages, these people don't realize what they actually have placed on them. And by the way, God is going to hold them in a greater into greater responsibility in the end. I gave you the authority, and what did you do with it? Now, to which this I will tell you, if you want to come complain to me about somebody in authority in an elected position, what I'm going to tell you is the next time we have an election, run. Because it's falling on deaf ears. I don't want to hear it. It's gossip. Well, I'm venting. Go vent to the mirror. That's the only person who cares about what you're saying. Because my Bible says to pray for them. If we will pray for them, we'll get something figured out. Now, I realize sometimes talking about God may show you exactly what it is you need to pray for. But why don't you talk to God like that? Talk to God and ask Him. Vent your frustrations to Him. He already knows. I mean, that's the thing. Well, I don't want to tell God that. He already knows what you're thinking. And your thoughts will eventually lead to coming out and speaking it. So why not speak it to the one who can do something about it? Now, if there's a problem in my realm of authority that I can deal with, come talk to me. I can deal with that. Which, by the way, God is actually increasing my influence. Not that I can change people's minds, but that I can pray for them. I've gone to the commissioners, prayed with them, said, hey, what do we need to pray for you? We're tired of talking about you. And I didn't think it was a big deal until afterwards, Cheryl's one of the secretaries. She said, do you know you actually did something? Because they usually give you 5 minutes. I had them for 45. She said, there was only one, and I guess he actually did have an appointment that he had to go to, but it was 20 minutes in, and he was late for his appointment because his appointment was at a quarter after. It was 20, 25 after before he left. And anyhow, she said, if none of them made excuses to have to go places that they had an appointment, they were listening. They wanted to know. You know, John Bevere was telling in his book, Honor's Reward, of a church in Washington that they hold prayer meetings. And he said to him, this pastor, and about 15 intercessors went to this, what we would call an opposing. He's a liberal senator or congressman. They wanted to meet with him. Well, they got in. And they said, usually you get 5 minutes. And he says, well, what can I do for you? And he said, sir, you can't do anything for us. We want to know. We want to pray for you. He says, no, wait a minute. He says, I got people every day coming in here. He says, I keep a running tally on how much money people ask for from me every day to fund these little things. He says, you're not asking anything from me? I said, no, we're here to pray for you. He said, so in other words, this is a gift to me. He said, this has never happened. And we're talking, it was a senior congressman. He didn't give his name. He gave the name of the pastor. He said, so can we pray for you? And they prayed for him. He says, yeah, while you're at it, he called his entire staff in. He said, pray for them too. And he said, when they were getting ready to leave, he says, you know what? I just had a cancellation. You want to go see the Capitol? They moved him so much, he canceled an appointment with somebody right then and there on the spot. And then took him to see the Capitol. When you have a congressman as a tour guide, you're going to see things the tour guides have never seen. But see, that's what God did. God moved on their behalf because they went. He honored them. And then it was later, I think it was 2 weeks later, this pastor got a call from the congressman. And he said, do you mind if my wife and I come to your church? He said, by all means. Come. And when he did, he brought his chief of staff as well. He brought other people with him. He said, so they went through the service. He said at the end of the service, he had the congressman stand up. And he introduced the congressman and then had the congressman and his wife and staff that was there come. And the entire church prayed for him. This is the importance, folks. God took a man with absolutely no influence. And because he's willing to pray for somebody, moved him up a ladder that did not exist. And now put him in a position to pray God's will into somebody else's life. That affects all of us. What is our population? 300 million or 600 million? Anybody know? the bunch that affects the entire nation, which ultimately will affect the entire world. China can hiccup. Not a whole lot happens. They got 1 billion people, maybe more now. They have 1/6 of the world's population in one country. But the United States sneezes, and everybody's market, Tokyo, London, Hong Kong, everybody shuts down. You don't see the importance of praying for our civil leaders? Because I'm going to put it this way, everybody's job in here relies on that. I don't care who you are, what you are. Farmers, it affects the farmers, it affects the freight haulers, freight handlers too. It affects factory workers, banking, medical, roofing. It affects it all. That's the importance of praying for our leaders. Well, but Pastor, God didn't bring, you know, I honored that cop and he still gave me his ticket. You should have said, thank you for doing your job. I respect that. Because if you got one, there's a chance you're going to get another. I'm just going to be honest with you. I won't ask you if you habitually speed, but how many of you have sped? Every last one of us. It's so easy to do. And what's even worse is when you get off of 71 and you get into a 55 zone, it's like, okay, can't run 70 here. I'm surprised the patrolmen don't camp out down along 61 and 95. I would. I just flat out tell you, I would. Just as a presence sometimes. Just that presence will bring you into reality. As a matter of fact, I remember one time we were going back to Camp Lejeune, and we were going through North Carolina. It was a holiday weekend, and down there they had 5.0 Mustangs. And we were cruising along, and it's like, oh no, man, I hit the brakes, and you know, I'm running with traffic, and we're all running about 85 down through there. Get by there, here's a 5.0 Mustang with a mannequin sitting in it. It got people to slow down. It worked good, because boy, it wasn't one of these little Twinkie-looking mannequins that you see in the stores now. He was a big buff one, had his hat on and everything. I was like, oh man, we're in trouble. Had his smoky on, and so, like I said, after reading that book, I was really kicking myself in a few places. But I'm learning. We're all learning. I quit kicking myself and said, okay, God, I'm not going to kick myself. I'm going to change myself. I'm going to start practicing this. If you've been in a habit of talking about your civil leaders, stop it. Pray for them. Watch what God will do for you because of that. You might be butting heads with somebody, and they're not going to change until you change. See, that's just it. We want, here's the deal with honor. We want people to give us honor before we give it. It don't work that way. You've got to give it. It's like honor and respect, you know. Some areas they go right hand in hand. There's, in a lot of places they're interchangeable. You got to give it to receive it. So for all you young people that are getting out and into the world and the workforce, guess what? You're going to have to give that respect and then watch what God will do. When you give respect, God will promote you. He'll move you up the line just like that. That's why I got promoted early. I wasn't even in the Marine Corps 2 years and moved up 4 ranks. And we're the slowest promoting service out there. Chiefly because the commandant's waiting for God to die so that he can get promoted. But it's true. I read something that talked about the Marine Corps, and they said that it's the only branch that I see that they treat their commandant as a god. Well, because we know the authority the man has. He doesn't have the authority of life and death, but he has all the other authority that God has. He can put me in jail. He can take me out of jail. He can send me to war. He can make my life happy or very, very sad. But anyhow, see, that's the way we should be treating people. We should have respect for all people. Honor all people. That's what Peter said. Honor all people. Treat them with weight and with value. Don't just, you're just a nobody. Nobody's a nobody. We're all somebody to God. Because God said, I'd come down and died for one of you. That's why the commandant can't ever be God. So let's stand. I know some of you are cold, but I am sweating still. Told Angela the other night, I said, I have been like this for about 3 weeks at least. I'm just hot all the time. So the only way to get, I know, the other morning I got on my bike and took off for a little ride, no sleeves in my shirt and just a t-shirt. I was fine. I see past all these other biker men, they got their helmets on, they got their jackets zipped up, leather gloves, and they're freezing. I'm like, I'm fine. Maybe God's doing that so I can enjoy the riding this season so far. Been a little chilly. Yeah, praise God. I just want you to know God loves you. I love you. And so I tell lots of sometimes goofy stories, most of them Marine Corps, because like I said, you talk about what has affected your life the most, don't you? God ultimately, that's why I'm preaching. But the Marine Corps was the other event in my life that affected my life big time. I learned, I grew, I became a man. I was 19 when I went in, but I was a boy. Came out on the other side, I was a lot closer to being a man than I was. And I think I'm almost there. But, I've learned so much about love, too. Learned even more by being a pastor. I just want to let you know I appreciate you. I know a lot of you do a lot of stuff. You got lives outside the church, and yet you give time here. You do things here. You got family. I know what it's like being pulled here, pulled there. Got to go here, got to go there. But I really just want to let you know I appreciate everything every one of you do. Because, when you become a member here, that's one thing I ask. You do something. You feel like you're a part of it. When you do something, you develop that friendship, the camaraderie. So, anyhow, let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this beautiful, glorious day. Lord, I pray now that this word that we've heard about honoring our civil authority, Lord, I pray that you cause that word to birth life in us, to take root, Father, that we will start treating our civil authority with greater respect, that we will talk about them with respect, Lord God, and that we will honor them for the authority that you have given them. Father, I pray now, again, your blessing on your people. Father, I pray that your glory goes everywhere. Father, that in the midst of a turmoil, peace will enter in when they come in. Father, I pray that you bless businesses wherever they go. Cause those businesses to suddenly burst forth with life. Father, I pray that you bless the work of their hands. In Jesus' name, amen.